I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7, as we read verses 15 through 21. A familiar story, but I want to use it today as a challenge to we who are fathers, whether biologically or spiritually, or both. Judges chapter 7, verses 15 through 21. When Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Get up, for the Lord has given the army of Midian into your hand." After he divided the 300 men into three companies, and put trumpets into the hands of all of them, and empty jars with torches inside the jars, he said to them, "Look at me and do the same. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets around the whole camp, and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." So Gideon and the 100 who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. So the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars, holding in their left hands the torches and in their right hands the trumpets to blow, and they cried, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Every man stood in his place all around the camp, and all the men in camp ran. They cried out and fled. So I don't get tangled up in all of that. I'll move over here. We're here on this day that we call Father's Day to remember and to honor and to celebrate those men who have stood in place, who have functioned in so many ways as fathers, as father figures, as counselors, as guides, as protectors. Perhaps if you think back, you can think of men, whether your own father or others, who have done these things. I do know that for some folks, Father's Day is not a good memory. Some because fathers are gone, others because of a harsh father. But we come this day remembering God and the gift that we have of life, the gift that we have together, and a challenge, especially to we men, to stand firm and to do that to which God has called us. Now, I read an article a while back about how the world was changing. And I will tell you that that article kind of got me thinking and kicked this off, because I really, in all honesty, got somewhat irritated at the author. For the author was, I think, lamenting many of the changes in the world from earlier times. He talked about how men have reluctantly been part of a new social revolution. And I'm going to quote his article extensively here at the beginning. "It used to be that men brought home the paycheck and carried out the garbage. Mothers raised the children and kept the house clean. At church, our fathers went to the men's Bible class and our mothers went downstairs and helped the children to make it through Sunday school and later preaching. In church business meetings, our fathers argued over whether to re-roof the parsonage and our mothers sat at their sides in dutiful, presumably biblical, silence. Not all of that has changed, but it is changing. Middle-class lifestyle now require two paychecks, not one. And working mothers, who in more cases bring home half the bacon, are beginning to expect working fathers to change half the diapers and vacuum half the time. And the church is changing slowly but surely. Women are no longer silent. Men no longer make all the decisions. And in the nursery, men are expected to take a turn just like the women. But men do it reluctantly. Most men know they ought to do more to raise the children, but that doesn't mean they really want to. They will move over and admit that women's voices are sometimes important to the decisions in the church, but that doesn't mean they really want to. All this and more makes us men uncomfortable. It is threatening, it is challenging, it can be humiliating, and it makes us wonder just what is a man's place in the world nowadays, anyway. End of quote. That article made me a little bit irritated because of the way this man wrote about those times that he wished would return, actually, by the end of the article. He said, we need to step up and assert ourselves even more and try. We may not get all the way back to the days of yore, whatever that is. We may not always get all the way back to the days of yore, but we need to reestablish ourselves in our proper place. So yes, I got rather irritated. But I also saw in it a little bit of a challenge for those of us who don't step up and fill places along with the women. It's not an us or them mentality. At least, I don't think it should be. But there is a challenge here with Gideon and with Gideon's army that I think we men, bless you, that we men need to take notice. And I'm in that category somewhere smack in the middle. So, now that most of you are wondering about this, and some might be irritated at this point, I still am a little bit when I read it. I could feel my blood pressure rising a little bit again. I want us to think, though, about men and about fathers and just what place we need to stand, where we need to be in our world, in all aspects of our world. And I would contend that that involves being present in all of the places of service that were mentioned before, including caring for the children and caring for the house and all of those kinds of things, and even more. In the passage today, we see the men in Gideon's army. If you read earlier, and I know we've got Gideons in here, and we have Gideons in our church, and you guys know this story. And you base your service around this story and this call, and we're very appreciative for that. But when we read earlier in the chapter, we find that the Midianite army is really about ready to overrun the Israelites. In the book of Judges, and we oftentimes think of judges as judicial figures these days, but actually the judges that God called were ordinary, everyday citizens that God called, and they answered that call to step up in a time of need. They weren't judicially trained. In fact, one of the strangest stories, in addition to this one, but one of the strangest stories is Ehud, and we've talked about him before. He was a left-handed man. It's the only thing that was odd or different. He was left-handed and he was shrewd. And he helped set Israel free because he was left-handed. You can go read that story for yourself later if you've forgotten. But here we've got the Midianites who are ready to overrun everything. And we have Gideon's army. Now, one of the first things we need to notice is that Gideon's army was not drafted. Gideon's army was made up of all volunteers. If you read the stories, the call went out and all of these men volunteered. The Midianites were threatening the people of Israel, who we're told had done what was evil in the sight of the Lord and forgotten God. And even though they worshipped other gods, there comes a point where God calls Gideon as a judge, that is, a leader. Gideon sounds the alarm, and can anyone tell me, just out of curiosity, how many men showed up initially? They hands up with 300. 32,000. 32,000 men volunteer. They come and they're ready to do what Gideon wants them to do. Wow. To stand up and fight the Midianites. Yet if you continue to read the story, you find out that about two-thirds of them find excuses and reasons to leave before they go into battle, even before they truly train. They showed a lack of true conviction and commitment, and so they're sent away. Those who stayed and fought were volunteers, but even not all of those remained. There were others who left for different reasons, and then there was finally a test. And most of them proved that they were not capable. Y'all know what that test is. They were supposed to drink some water. And the ones who were not capable put their faces down to lap up the water, and the others watched as they scooped up the water. And it was those 300 that proved to be loyal and faithful, and proved actually to be successful. They stood firm. They expected God's watch, and they paid attention to what Gideon had said and committed themselves to remain loyal, faithful, and really faith-filled to God and with God and God's people. The church, for millennia now, the church has relied. Well, no, I'm going to change that. It's not just has relied. The church relies on volunteers. By the way, I was thinking the other day as I was rereading this, it is about time for the nominating committee to be selected and to start going around asking for volunteers. So maybe this serves two purposes today, to challenge we who are men, but also as a challenge to all of us, not to hide from the nominating committee when they come around. But the church relies on volunteers, do we not? Volunteers to do so many things. Unfortunately, there are a lot of folks who don't. And so there are many of you who serve wearing multiple hats, and some of them at the same time. By the way, in many churches today, a survey was done, approximately 65% of those who are active in church are women. 35% are men. On the average Sunday, in churches in the United States, the split of those who are present is generally around 60 to 40 women to men. And that doesn't mean that's because all the men are passed on. But the church relies on volunteers, men and women, to step up, to do what needs to be done for their own church, but also for the surrounding community and the world. But unfortunately, a lot of things don't get accomplished as they should, because so many look to be served rather than to serve. And of those men who left in Gideon's army, who went away and were sent away, they were looking more to be served than to stand firm and to serve. And so we are faced with those challenges. In fact, we're faced with a lot of challenges. They faced enemies, right? The Midianite army. Very fearful army. Sometimes in our world, we face those kinds of things as well. But I also think that we face other challenges that draw us away from being as faithful and committed as we should be. There are so many things out there that take us away and take away our attention. I still recall someone a few years ago who decided as a family to go to another church in the area. And one of our church members ran into them in the grocery store some months later and said, you know, we really miss you. So would we go here because we can show up in our bathing suit and our T-shirt and our flip-flops with the truck, with the boat in the parking lot. And as soon as it's over, we can go get in the truck and leave. And nobody says anything. I enjoy the lake too. However, anyway, off that part of the soapbox. I will tell you, we are grateful And I am especially grateful. But we are all grateful. And thank God for those who are faithful. For those who step up. For those who step up when they're asked, but also who step up without being asked to do things. And I'm still, if someone can tell me, I told Mary this morning, for several weeks now, I have been meaning to ask. And if you're the one or you know who, I would like to know. Thank you to whoever has planted these flowers out here over next to the parking spaces and down this side of the building and out in that flower bed. I see those every day and I think, I need to ask, and then slips through my brain. But we are grateful for those who do those things and things that they're not asked to do, but step up when they see a need for our church and our world. But we also need more of that from everyone, but especially from fathers, to set that example for children. That example of volunteering, that example of service, that example of following God's causes and being productive with God's people. And so Gideon's army finally gets whittled down. They get whittled down to 300 from 32,000. 300 that not only are committed to God, but remain that way regardless of the cost. They volunteered to be part of God's purpose and God's plan. Gideon and God made sure that they were equipped. But they also had to remain alert and vigilant. The test that we've already mentioned came along to see just how alert and vigilant they would be. And as I've already said, and as you already know, most of them failed that test. Once again, they were more concerned about themselves than serving the greater purpose around them. But they needed to be alert and vigilant to truly be productive in God's army. Not just physically alert, though, but spiritually alert. Spiritually alert. Gideon had to be attuned to God and his voice, yes. He was the leader that was called. But each and every other man present had to be attuned to God and to God's leadership. Too often, we do not have our eyes, physically or spiritually, in the places that we need to have them. In particular, focusing on God. But rather, we get distracted by all the other things that are out there around us that we see, and that takes our eyes away from God. As men and as fathers, the challenge here is for each of us to be fixated more on spiritual alertness and spiritual presence. Spiritual alertness and spiritual presence means, among other things, that we will find ourselves more involved in study of the Bible, more involved in thinking about and even discussing Christian doctrine. A few years ago, for Father's Day, we used the scripture from Deuteronomy where it talks about the law and knowing the law and talking about it and discussing it in the streets, in your homes, with your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. We need to be more committed and more attuned to that leading with God, to focus on studying the Bible, Christian doctrine, and leading spiritually, more so than all the other things that keep us from being spiritually focused. We're called to set an example of obedience as well. Gideon gave orders. Some of these men could have stood by or sat by and said, well, you know, we'll wait and see what the outcome for that company is before we decide whether to rush in or not, because if they start getting whipped, we might as well turn and run. No, Gideon said, you do what I am doing. Notice he didn't say, you do what I say to do. He said, what I say do, do, because what I say I'm going to do, I'm going to do. And he says, do as I do. He led out with leadership. I think it's important to note that all of this is, is based on the fact in the very first verse, we're told, and Gideon, after he heard the interpretation, worshiped God. Worshiped God. He was obedient to God, and he expected these men to be obedient as well. Each man in Gideon's army, we're told, found his place, and the text said, and he stood in his place. Each of them did exactly as was expected, exactly as was instructed, showing faith through obedience to God. Obedience is not an easy thing to do. It's really not. If it were, we'd never have any issues with those little ones running around because they'd always be obedient, right? We'd never have any issues with them as they got older and started seeing and wanting other things, hanging out more with their friends and doing things that sometimes we probably need to know about but don't want to hear about, right? And then as we get older and older, obedience is not something that comes to us naturally, is it? If it were, we wouldn't have to teach a child not to take something that doesn't belong with them because they wouldn't. So obedience is something that we don't come by easily. And yet obedience is a part of that faithful commitment and that listening that we have. And just as those men were obedient and showed their faith in God, we also are called to be obedient. To be obedient in all matters, but especially in spiritual things. As fathers, whether biological fathers or spiritual or emotional fathers, we are called to a spiritual awareness and to set an example of obedience for children to follow. Now, I am going to say that is a terribly and tremendously daunting task. But it's a task that is essential. It is essential if our children and our world are to continue and to flourish. If you continue reading the story, you know that the men did exactly as Gideon not only told them to do, but exactly as Gideon did. And they end up routing the Midianite army. 300, overwhelmingly outnumbered. These days, we who are faithful and faith-filled sometimes get tired because it seems that the world outnumbers us so many times over. And yet, in this instance, and perhaps in many others, if you think back within your life, even though outnumbered, those who were faithful found God's presence and God's promise and God's guidance and God's faithfulness. One writer, in speaking of Gideon and his army in this particular battle, put it this way. It seems that the motto for Gideon was, believe in your purpose with God. Believe in it with such tenacity that through this sheer strong belief, you will help it to be realized. End of quote. When we seem so overwhelmed by the things of the world, when sometimes we wonder where we need to go. Men, we need to recapture that sense of commitment. I thank you who do. But if you're like me, you need a regular reminder. Because you get weary, and the world seems to be spinning out of control. And sometimes it seems easier just to sit back and do this. But we need to remember, as my systematic theology professor from seminary, Dr. James Tull, once said, if you're in the wrong place, the right place, and its possibilities go unfulfilled. Gideon and his army were in the right place. They were in the right place physically. They were in the right place mentally. But more importantly, they were in the right place spiritually. And so I would challenge each of us to think back to those times where we have those examples, where perhaps our fathers or another father figure stood firm, not in meanness, but stood firm, committed to God and committed to the church, committed to the family and committed to the betterment of the world. And may we be like those men in Gideon's army, faithfully and with faith-filled lives standing in place. May we pray. Lord, we admit that so often we want to look another way rather than stand in place when things seem to be so chaotic. Help us. Help us to stand firm together with each other, but more importantly with You, that Your purposes might be accomplished, in part because we are present. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our final hymn, our hymn of decision and of commitment, is number 808, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. As we stand and as we sing, may we truly commit ourselves again to that One who is the One who saves but who uplifts. Number 808. Thank you for coming today, for sharing in worship. And once again, happy Father's Day. for all of those who in any way have been a father to anyone who has been in need and who has needed that leadership and that guidance. The hymn we just sang reminds us that God is the one who protects us wherever we go, however we travel, land, sea, air, walking, driving, flying, swimming, boating, anything. Because a good Father watches, guides, and protects. And so the challenge for you and me, guys, especially for you and me, is to be good fathers and father figures so that others may come to know the love of one Father through others, and that the world might indeed find its purpose. God bless you, and go in peace.